Remember, a massive shooting happened 13 years ago. A milkman invaded into a small schoolhouse, and he brought his gun with him, and he dismissed the teacher and boys, and then he took 10 girl hostages. In a few minutes, he killed 5, and the other 5 girls got wounded seriously. And my friend, he didn't want to mention that. He didn't want to recall that tragedy. But I found later, 4 of the 10 kids who got killed or injured, they had the same last name as my friend. It was a tragic gun violence. And then something amazing and unbelievable happened. Many of the Amish people came to the widow of the killer, and they attended the funeral of the killer. And they invited the widow and children to attend the funeral of their children who got killed. And when the donation came in from around the country for the medical payment and their family, the Amish people, they set up the trust fund for the widow and children of the murderer. And then Amish people, they gathered in their church and prayed, God, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We are continuing our sermon series on the Lord's Prayer. It has only 70 words. It's very short. Sometimes we pray this prayer without thinking properly, but when we do that, each word and each petition of this prayer is so powerful, so meaningful, and it will rock your world if you take it to your heart. And after I learned the Amish people, my friend, they prayed, God, forgive us. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I became chilled and speechless. And the thing is, in Jewish tradition, Israel people, they prayed at least 3 times a day. And this is the prayer Jesus taught us to pray 3 times a day, asking for forgiveness. Every day? 3 times a day? Why? Why do we need to ask God to forgive us every day? Well, I don't know if you agree with me or not. I think I'm a good person. I'm kind of nice, right? Please say yes. I have not murdered anybody, I have not cheated on my wife, and I'm trying not to harm or hurt anybody. Yes, I have once got a speed ticket, and I will tell you next week, but I'm not a criminal. Then again, why? Why do I have to pray the prayer of forgiveness every day? And what am I praying for forgiveness? And what's interesting is the Presbyterian and other Reformed churches, they tend to use debt instead of trespasses. Forgive our debt as we forgive others' debt. And Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, and Methodist, we usually use trespasses. Debt and trespasses, they sound different. That is more like a financial language, but trespass is like a sin or a wrongdoing. But when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew's Gospel, it uses that, and Luke's Gospel uses sin. It happens because of the original language Jesus might have used in this prayer. When Jesus taught his disciples, he spoke in Aramaic, in which Israel people spoke in Jesus' time. And the Aramaic word Hova, Jesus spoke in this petition, it could be translated both debt and sin at that time. They are different to us, but not in Jesus' time. But I think both debt and sins, they are perfectly working in this petition. In Jesus' time, not many farmers owned their farms. Most of them were small tenant farmers. They have to borrow some money to buy the seed and repair the tools. And when they harvest, they pay back. That was the cycle. But if they have a year of famine or a bad harvest, they have no way to pay back. They are in trouble, and they have two options. The first one was they became slaves. And of course, their family becomes slaves too. And the second one was they were imprisoned. And sadly, the family, they have no way to sustain their life. It is tragic. But if they are so blessed to have somebody who pays the money back, she or he, that person can be saved. Can be saved from slavery or imprisonment. And the person who pays back on behalf, he or she was called the Redeemer, who pays the debt back for me and redeems me from slavery and imprisonment. So Redeemer, that concept is found throughout the New Testament. And the Bible teaches us that we have been spared and forgiven a great debt and sin by God through Jesus Christ. That's why we call Jesus Christ the Redeemer. He saves us from our debt and sin and temptation and wrongdoing and evil. Then again, let me ask you, why? Why do we need to pray for forgiveness every day? Jesus has done amazing work 2,000 years ago to me, for us. Then why? So here's why. We believe God is the God of the creation, who created the whole universe and all creatures in it. And God is the source of life. Indeed, every day is God's blessing in our daily lives. But most of the time, we take it for granted. The air, water, sun, moon, and so many other things which are critical to our lives and our existence. We don't make that. I don't know how to make the air. We didn't do that. These are God's blessing and gift for us. And with all these gifts, there are God's plan for you and me. And there are certain ways in which God wants us to live our daily lives by keeping God's work and wills. I believe that's the way we pay back to God. And here is some doctrinal stuff. In our Methodist belief, we acknowledge two kinds of sins: the sin of commission and sin of omission. The sin of commission is we commit, we violate, and we do bad things. And these are the things that I'm not supposed to do, but in fact, I do, such as envy, jealousy, anger, hatred, lust, gossip, backbiting, and so many other things. And sometimes we feel like the world revolves around us. Arrogance, that kind of stuff in our mind, we are struggling as a human being. And the sin of omission is, I mean, there are things that we omit to do, we should do, but we fail to do. We are called to do God's work. We are called to practice justice. love one another and care for one another, sometimes, sadly, I fail. I fail to do what God wants me to do. So either by commission or omission, I need God's forgiveness. I need God's forgiveness every day because I make decisions, maybe 100 kinds of decisions every day. I need it. And in fact, the Greek word for sin or trespass in the Bible, that is harmatia. Harmatia doesn't mean crime. It means to miss the mark. It is an archery term. You aim an arrow and shoot it. If you are an excellent archer, you hit the target. Yes, that's good. I want to see that every day, but sadly, that's not my story. All the time, if I miss the mark, that is harmatia. And that's the picture of what sins looks like. It is like, I know I need to go this way, but in fact, I go the other side. Because maybe that's the way I found the state. That was for joke, anyway. But or God wants me to do this, but I don't do that. In reverse, God doesn't want me to do this, but I intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, do that. That happens every day in our daily lives. That's why we need to ask for God's forgiveness, to recalculate our direction, our way of living our lives. And the thing is, it's really hard. It's really challenging that we practice forgiveness in our lives toward other people. In Matthew chapter 18, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, if somebody among the body, the church, how many times should I forgive? We need to see this context. Why? Why does Peter ask this question? It is probably because Peter has somebody among the disciple or his brother whom he feels really, really difficult to forgive. The apostle Peter, the rock, foundation of the church, he followed Jesus, risked his life, and finally died for good news. Even Peter had some difficulties to forgive others. I don't know about you, but it's really comforting me. One thing I notice is Jesus, he never says it's easy to forgive. It is not a piece of cake. I believe he knows how hard it is to forgive. He knows what it means to forgive, and he goes to the painful cross, and he shows us the example of forgiveness. And that Jesus says, not seven times, 77 times. We intentionally try to be open to forgiveness in our daily lives. But even though we try to be forgiving people, sometimes, or many times, we encounter difficulties to practice forgiveness. And I think it is because forgiveness is sometimes related to some kind of loss. The loss of trust, the loss of our resources, the loss of our beloved ones. If that is a small, tiny matter, it's really easy. That's fine. It's going to be fine. For example, you know, chocolate is not my stuff. So if you take my chocolate, I'm going to say, that's fine. It's easy. Or, oh, you like chocolate, so here's more. Take more. But if you take my steak, you will be sorry. And it will take a long time to forgive you. I'm just joking. You can take my steak. That much I love you. Forgiveness. It can be hard. If somebody breaks your trust, it is like How come? How could you do this to me? I trusted you. If somebody takes advantage of you, it's really hard to practice forgiveness. If you had an accident or if you lost your beloved one, that would be beyond what we are able to handle. We are struggling. But in his book, Forgiveness, Paul, he says, forgiveness doesn't change the past. We have to work. We have to do something with what we have done. But it indeed enlarges your future. And I believe when Jesus talks about forgiveness, practicing forgiveness, he cares for you and me. It's not about somebody who has done wrong, but about you and me. If we are grounded with so much pain and anger because of what somebody did, all frustration, disappointment, anger, and vengeance, they may bring harm, not only to our spirit and our minds, but also to our physical body, literally. And they close their eyes so that we may not see God's love and the beauty of our daily blessed day. So this petition of forgiveness is not just for somebody who did wrong to us, you and me, but it is for you and me, for our well-being. And I think about this. If my friend, the Amish people, they could practice the radical forgiveness, I think we may have a chance to practice forgiveness. We may try more and more in our daily lives. I want to wrap it up with the parable of the prodigal son. This story is usually told from the perspective of the son or his brother. But think about this parable from the perspective of the father. Even though the son was far, far, far away, the father, he knew it was his son, and he was running to the son. You think that was kind of coincidence? He was just one day standing over there and found him coming? No. We don't know how many days and nights the father was standing there waiting for the son coming back home. And the punchline of this story is God runs toward the person who turns their heart toward God. And when we keep focusing on God's love and forgiveness for each one of us, and I believe we may be empowered, encouraged, and strengthened to practice forgiveness in our true life. And we may be able to ask for forgiveness, not just from God, but also from some people that I may bring harm. Let's remember, Jesus taught us to pray every day. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen.